We discussed a little bit yesterday on December 24th, a little bit of Inyana Dioma. We're going to continue today on December 25th, discussing a little more of the same. It's brought down in the Sefer Ta'ami HaMenhagim, the reason why there are those that refrain from learning on what he calls the Kufas Teves, which is synonymous with today, December 25th, or rather, last night. And he says, as we touched upon yesterday, also the same explanation by Eliezer Tzvi Zweifel, he explains as follows. Hafisha b'yamim harishonim ha'yitzar ha'yehudim orvim aleihem u'makim osim b'layel ha'hu. And unfortunately, what happened then, in the Yomim HaRishonim, he calls it, the early days, that those people that were adversaries to the Jewish people, they would gather together, and unfortunately they would cause harm to some Jewish people on that night. And he says, anyone who was found b'chutz or b'rachov, makos achzorios, anyone who was found outside or in the street, they would act quite cruel to that individual. Pa'amim, sometimes, ad shemesu, tachas yadam shamon chashu zosel mitzvah. Not only did they think it was maybe legal or you can get away with it, they actually thought it was a good thing to actually even beat someone sometimes to death. L'chein gazru gedoli hador, therefore in those generations, the people who were able to make such a decree did exactly that against those who were malamdim, talmidim, those who were in yeshivos, students, teachers, that they should instead be yeshivu b'bateihem, that they should instead stay at home. B'layil hazev lo yishotu b'chutzos, they should not be found outside in the streets. And even though we mentioned yesterday that maybe that would be reason alone to say you can't learn Torah out in a base medrash, in a base achneses, so why then do we borrow this idea that you can't learn Torah at all? So the Alter Meir explains, we mentioned that this gezeira occurred before the invention of the printing press, and therefore a person just didn't own books at home. And therefore, by saying that you cannot go to a base medrash, base achneses, to learn Torah, it's tantamount to saying you can't learn Torah. And therefore, that's how some people interpret that really the whole gezeira was only don't go outside, but maybe to learn in your own home is not an issue whatsoever if you had books or possibly if you were able to memorize. In fact, it's brought down in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kanevsky that he, on one hand, he would do some type of a pshara, a compromise. On one hand, he would not be able to not learn even for a night. To tell him not to learn is something unthinkable. So he would learn. But because he was such a tremendous gaon, but also he was also respectful of the chassidim, those who were meticulous not to learn, he would just not use a sefer. And therefore, to anyone that would walk by, in his mind was constantly erasing Torah, and he was learning Torah, and he was maybe even saying Torah. But to show respect to the chassidim and that perhaps they wouldn't know that he was learning, he didn't actually learn from a sefer. Obviously, his secret leaked out, that we know that that's what he really did. Now, we discussed a little bit about this yesterday as well, as to why there would be such a decree. So we touched upon one explanation. It's brought down in the name of Rav Abraham David Horowitz. He says another reason as to why Torah is not learned on the eve of Nitlnach. And he brings down a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is actually the parak that we're learning on Shabbos, from Parak Chelek. The Gemara says, actually it discusses over the about Tchias HaMesim, all the different hints throughout Tanakh to Tchias HaMesim. But the Gemara over there, it says the following, quote, Kol mi shenemra halacha b'shmo b'olam hazeh, s'vososav d'vavos b'kavr, that a person who says halacha or learns Torah bishmo, literally in the person's name, or if you quote someone who is no longer physically in our world, however, since you're learning in that person's name, it's as though, says Chazal, that their lips are moving beyond the grave. Shenamar dovim sifsi yishenim. And therefore, it's possible, as Rav Horowitz explains, is that when a person learns Torah, that you're causing some type of benefit in this world in general. And therefore, he says, better that Yeshu should not receive any benefit from Torah in this world at all. And therefore, he says, refrain from Torah study. Well, if that, in fact, is your minhag, not to learn Torah, so the question is, what do you do? And this is before primetime television. So what did they exactly do? So some, as we mentioned yesterday, would sleep right away, and they would wake up at Chatzos Laila at midnight, and they would learn the entire night. As the other religions would go to sleep, here we are, stark learning. That's one thing that some people would do. That's one custom. It's brought down in the Jewish Encyclopedia that some instead would play cards or play chess to stimulate the mind. Yes?
It doesn't make sense that they learn after midnight, because that's when they go, their whole thing
right.
is at midnight.
Right. Well, so the significance of why some feel that it's appropriate to do so is normally they would learn. You would learn into the night and go to sleep late, maybe by midnight. And therefore, what would happen? You're going to sleep, and here they are now starting in their service, which is an hour, 2 hours. But instead, what you do is you wake up the same time that they're beginning, so you'll begin. But as they conclude and they go back to their homes and fall asleep, you continue to study. And therefore, it's not that we're showing that we are less as far as our commitment as they are. So that's how some explain it. But I hear what you're saying is the problem of why some did not do that. Is another even more peculiar custom that was done in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, and I could not say this if not for the fact that it was written down in Sefer Panim Chadashos, that it said there was 1 year in which there was a shortage in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak of toilet paper. What's the vort in that? Because, of course, on Shabbos, we don't tear this. So what they would do is they would buy all the toilet paper, and on December 24th, all they would do is they would pre-cut for the entire year, to the point that there was absolutely no toilet paper left. That's actually brought down in Sfarim, which we're going to discuss. Maybe, obviously, I'm going to be speaking on some level with an element of respect over here, especially recorded, but there is some inyan as to why they perhaps had that specific minhag. And for that, I'd like to share with you a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, which some people hear on Tisha B'Av, on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, discusses some of the individuals who were revived, who may not have had the most righteous of lives, including Bilam, including Titus Harasha. His last name was Harasha. Obviously, he was a bad guy. So it discusses what were the punishments for each of these individuals. So, for example, Titus, he ordered that his remains should be burned and then spread across the seas, and that's what he says is exactly what happens to him on a daily basis, that he has to undergo that spiritual pain, the physical pain of undergoing that on a daily basis. And the Gemara over there says, in the more uncensored versions, quoting the Poshei Yisrael, in which could be referring to what we're discussing here, this individual, the Gemara over there says, Dinid dahu gavra b'mai. What exactly was the punishment that you are receiving? And the Gemara says over there, Amalei b'tsoa rotsachas, that I am in boiling hot dung or waste. Anyone who goes against and humiliates Torah, this is their punishment. And what exactly is the significance of these words? Of course, this in the afterlife, there's no such thing as nothing physical such as this. So what is it signifying? So it's brought down in a sefer, the name of the sefer, which is called the Toldot Yeshu, which discusses all about these stories. One which maybe some of our are not familiar with, Yeshu in his lifetime did miracles. That's something in which we 100% believe in. And as we talked about on Asarba Teves, that not only he, but his quote-unquote successor, Shimon, or as we know as Peter, did the exact same miracles, including reviving someone who was dead, as well as curing someone from tzaras, from leprosy, as Yeshu did as well. But he, of course, had a more positive approach to why he did that, as we discussed, which we're not going to get into again. But nonetheless, it's brought down in Toldos Yeshu that he was able to somehow take the Shem HaMeforesh, Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, which was so incredibly powerful. If a person was able to know it and to be able to recite it to the point that in our Parsha Shmos that we're laying, the Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu, as it's brought down the Chazal, he was able to kill the Mitzri. How? Because he recited the Shema Mefarsh. So anyone who has the capability of getting their hands literally on this name has the ability to do tremendous things. And it's brought down the Toldos Yeshua over there that what he did was he took the Shema Mefarsh from the Beis HaMikdash and he attached it to his foot, which, as it says, was able for him to, this is what it says, to understand what it means literally, to be able to fly, to be able to be literally airborne, that gravity did not affect him. But as it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at a certain point, felt enough was enough, to the point that he fell down to reach his untimely death, in which, in turn, he was pulled into the sewers where he became soiled. Now, the obvious problems with all this, I'm going to speak for only two more minutes, is that once we discuss in this manner, which certainly is a disrespectful fashion, it can obviously leak out. And in fact, it was brought down in 1613 by Julius Conrad Otto, who wrote that this is exactly what happened, and that the Jewish people on the night of December 24th read Toldot Yeshu, like we read other Megillos, which of course we don't do, as we all know, and that Jewish people eat garlic on the night of December 24th. And there's actually some sources which support that this was the case, such as the Siach Yitzchak, which says that since if you have the minhag that you do not learn Torah, and Torah in the days in which there was such a thing as Tumah and Tahara, which we don't necessarily have the same level nowadays of purities and impurities, there were such things as called Mazikin, literally demons. And the Torah was able to protect you from it. But in the event that you were unable to be protected because you're not learning Torah, it was necessary, according to some, then that they actually had to consume garlic. Now, it's also explained the significance of garlic is to obviously give a person bad breath, to the point that some say that it's usur in tashmish, just like on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, and having marital relations, and therefore that was the significance of eating it. It was brought down by Rav Zalman Tzvi that this could also be connected to the punishment that the Gemara in Gittin is alluding to. That this individual said that he was every day in Soarot Sachas, which is obviously not something which has a very kind smell. But it doesn't literally mean it. And therefore the significance of the eating of the garlic is to separate yourself, not necessarily to separate yourself from your spouse, but maybe it's in order to be able to show that our religion can stand on its own and it's not necessary for us to embrace their religion. In conclusion, it's brought down by a priest. They actually asked the question to Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz that if this in fact is what you do, that you do not learn Torah, which is pretty hard to believe, you're not going to learn Torah, thousands of Jews not learning Torah one night, why would we allow this? In fact, he says that it's brought down in Perkei Avos, the second Mishnah. It says that the world stands on Torah, Avodah Gemilas Chasadim. So you're going to remove one of the pillars? So on this answered Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz that it's true, that that's a very valid question. However, Minhag Yisrael Torah, that there is a principle that when it comes to a custom in which you embrace, if that is in fact your minhag, that is considered to be Torah. And therefore, v'zehu ba'atzmo she'en lomdim oz hu Torah, the fact that you're not learning, that is considered in itself Torah. V'al zeh yesh kiyum ha'olam, and by doing this, there is a kiyum in the world.